turn there, I will pray. So, Father, I thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, that this is the day that you have given us, and we choose to rejoice in this day. We rejoice in everything that is in our hands today. We rejoice in everything, in the trials, in everything that is before us. We choose joy, and we choose praise. We choose you today, Jesus. We love you with all of our heart, God, with all of our soul, with all that we have within us. We just say, God, we love you. God, we love you. And I pray, Lord, touch every heart in this room today. I pray, God, for joy to rise in spirits today, joy to arise in marriages today, in our children's lives today, in broken relationships. I just pray for healing to be released in the body today, Father. And I just thank you right now, Lord. We love you. We lean into you, precious Jesus. And I pray, anoint my words today. In Jesus' holy name. And everybody said, amen. I'm excited. 1 Kings chapter 19. And if you're new or if you've not been here for a little bit, we've been in the book of 1 Kings, and we've been studying the life of Elijah. Somebody say Elijah. Elijah. I love Elijah for many reasons, and the Lord's really been ministering to me from his life. And what I wanted to, or what I've been calling this, is still standing. Look at your neighbor and say, still standing. Still standing. And Elijah was a very interesting individual, and he went through a lot of crazy, amazing miracles, right? And he went through turmoil, and he went through drama, and he went through a lot of things. But at the end of the day, I love that his testimony was, I'm still standing. Somebody tried to kill me, but I'm still standing. You know, this wicked queen wanted my head on a platter, but I'm still standing. I was running for my life because of a drought and all these things, but I'm still standing. And so I just want to speak hope into us today. That no matter what we've gone through, no matter what we're facing, no matter what is facing us and looking at us in the eyes today and saying, you're not going to make it, I want to tell you today that you're going to make it. I want to release courage into us today that we are going to make it. We're going to overcome. We're going to go over this thing. We're going to break through this thing, whatever it is in your personal life. And I want to read a couple verses and we'll get into the gist of this. So it says in chapter 19, and Ahab told Jezebel that Elijah, what all that Elijah had done, and how he had executed the false prophets with the sword. Remember, it was the great showdown. It was all these 450 false prophets calling out to Baal, cutting themselves, dancing, screaming, asking Baal to come, and nothing happened. And then Elijah cries out to Yahweh, and fire comes. And now word gets back to this wicked queen. It says, then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as one of them that you killed by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and he ran for his life. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. And he left his servant there. This is an interesting story. We're going to read several verses in a moment. But what I want to talk today about from Elijah's life is something that it's not the most exciting topic, but it's a topic that needs to be discussed. And I think it is a topic of depression, discouragement, and wanting to give up. I see a lot of Christians and a lot of people hitting walls in their life, hitting walls in their business, hitting walls in their relationships, hitting walls in their marriage, and they want to give up. They want to run the other way. And I feel like this is exactly where Elijah was. I mean, Elijah, this isn't just some random person in the Bible. This isn't a person with like two sentences. This is Elijah. He had called down fire. The Lord was not pleased with the worship of Baal. And so he says, Elijah, I need you to go to this wicked king, Ahab, and I need you to speak a prophetic word. So he does that. And it wasn't that he just spoke it. I mean, it literally happened. So it stops raining because this man speaks a word. This man had faith. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of prayer. He was a man that was very connected to the Father. He got fed by ravens, for crying out loud. I mean, how cool is that story? Like he hides in the cave and the Lord in this the Kereth Ravine, and the Lord says, I want you to come to this hiding place, this cut off place. Because I'm going to do something in you. I'm going to work a process in your life, and you're going to be cut off from everything that you're used to. And so he takes him to this place, and then the Lord supernaturally provides for him by ravens. Come on, I used to hate ravens, but then I look at ravens, I'm like, oh, you are awesome, Lord. You provided for Elijah, you'll provide for me. Amen? And then he gives them the only clean brook in the entire land. And so he's able to have clean water. And he's getting meat from birds. I mean, like it's supernatural provision. Better than the Israelites, you know? And so, just lots of miracles. Fire comes down from heaven. Then he prays again for it to rain, and it rains. And so, just, if anybody had the testimony of believing God, it should be Elijah. But yet, he finds himself in a moment where this queen says, I want you dead. I don't like what you're doing. I don't like what you're saying. I don't like what you've brought into this land. And I want you dead. And all of a sudden, his life begins to get gripped. His heart begins to get gripped with fear. And this once great man of God begins to run for his life. Let's read a few more verses. It says, but he went himself a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came and he sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. Come on, he was just calling fire down from heaven. Now he's like, just kill me. I want to die, Lord. He said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life. For I'm no better than my fathers. Then as he lay down and he slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. This is a powerful story. And I want to talk about how we fall into depression, how we fall into discouragement, and how we fall into wanting to just give up in life and give up on our marriage and give up on a good, healthy relationships, give up on church, give up on God. I want to point that out in Scripture, how that happens, and then I want to give you God's remedy for that. Because God always gives us a remedy, amen? He always gives us the answer. And so the first thing I want you to look at and to realize is if you want to fall into discouragement, depression, anxiety, wear yourself out. Wear yourself out. and the enemy will definitely work with that. He's like, you work yourself out and I'll work you out too. I'm going to wear you down. And this is something we see in Elijah's life. Look at the 3.5+ years of Elijah's life. There was a lot of spiritual activity. And it wasn't just easy peasy lemon squeezy, as my kids like to say. There was a lot of warfare. It was, I have to trust God. I have to seek God. I'm running for my life. I'm scared. I'm hiding in a Kereth ravine. The queen wants me dead. Other prophets are dying. All those that worship Yahweh are being slaughtered. And so it was like battle, battle, pray, battle, battle, pray, battle, battle, pray. You know, it wasn't just easy living. I mean, and we are to engage in spiritual warfare. Yes. But if spiritual warfare is lasting year after year after year, it begins to wear you out. You cannot sustain that. We cannot sustain that as human beings. It begins to wear you out. And so I believe he was spiritually exhausted. He was emotionally exhausted. And then it says he ran to the southern tip. He ran as far as you can run. So now he's physically exhausted. He ran until he could run no more. And then he tells his servant, now you stay here and I'm going to run another day's journey. So he kept running. So he was physically exhausted, he was emotionally exhausted, and he was spiritually exhausted. This is the perfect recipe for the enemy to begin to speak lies into our life. See, he waits for us to get worn down. He waits for us to get isolated from the pack, isolated from the group. I always throw in a little Nat Geo, but you wait for the one. You wait for the little one that's isolated from the group, and the lion comes and he pounces on that one. So that's the first thing. It's wear yourself out. And I think many times in my own life, and maybe in all of ours, you can answer for yourself, but I think we get discouraged and we get depressed because we're just flat out tired. And we just need a break. Like, you know, like the Snickers commercial, somebody was talking about yesterday, but I love the Snickers commercial. It's like, you're not you when you're hungry, you know? You know, eat a Snickers. We've been doing way too much for way too long. And then we come to a breaking point. And we come to burnout. I think there's a lot of ministers and pastors and just Christians that are burning out. Business people I see burning out because they're burning it at both ends. And they're not obeying the commandment that says, you need to take a break. You need a Sabbath. Like Sabbath is not the great suggestion, it's a commandment. God says, I made you in my image. And we're made in his image, and he's like, I'm gonna work hard for 6 days, I'm gonna make the entire universe, and then I'm gonna rest. And he's like, I made you in my image, I want you to do the same. Anyway, we'll talk more about that in a minute. But so we wear ourselves down. This is the recipe for disaster. And then what do we see Elijah do? We see him begin to shut people out. Say, shut people out.
Shut people out.
You're like, what are you talking about? It says his companion, his servant, probably his only friend in this moment of life. The queen wants him dead. The king wants him dead. He thinks all the other prophets are dead. And now he runs to the farthest point, the southern tip, with his servant. And then he says, you stay here. I just got to keep going. And so he pushes out his one friend. He pushes out his companion. He pushes out the brother in his life. And how many times do we do this when we get stressed, when we get overwhelmed, when we get afraid, and we begin to put walls up? We begin to push people out. Not because we hate them, but because we're afraid of what's going on internally. And so we begin to push people out, and we begin to put walls up, and we say, you don't understand me. You don't understand my heart. You don't understand what I'm going through. You wouldn't understand it, so I'm not going to tell you. So just keep, I'm going to keep you at arm's length. We do this. It's awfully quiet in here. We don't let people into our heart. And I believe this was a recipe for disaster in Elijah's life. And I love and respect Elijah so much. But what caused a man to come to a point in his life where he's like, just kill me, God. I just want to die. Like, I know I've seen the miracles, but I'm ready to just give up on everything. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of this Jezebel. I'm afraid of what she's going to do to me. I'm afraid. At least he's honest. The third thing, I just want to give you the negatives really quick, and then we'll hone in and we'll focus on the good stuff. But the third thing that he started to do was, he started focusing on the negative. Say, focus on the negative. Well, yeah. You get what I mean. Don't focus on the negative. But he does. He focuses on the negative. And listen to this. He says, so he went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and he sat under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. And he said, it's enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. I'm no better than, and some says, my ancestors, my fathers. So he's basically having a little pity party. Yeah. And the Lord's like, whoa, hold on. Like, do you need some cheese with that wine, Elijah? there's a spirit of rejection we need to take care of, because like, I don't know where that came from, but now you're like bringing up all your ancestors and fathers, and you're like, I'm no nothing. I'm a nobody going nowhere. I'm not as good as, you know. And he's like, come on, child, chill. But we do the very same thing. We get under pressure. We get stressed. And we're like, oh, I'm never going to succeed. Oh, this is never going to happen. I knew I shouldn't have done that. I knew it. And we get so critical on ourselves. I'm just like my dad. I'm just like my grandpa. I'm just like my uncle. I'm just da, 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 da. And we say these things and we use these blanket statements that just aren't true. And we begin to speak the negative instead of speak truth. My life will never get better. My marriage will never be healed. My kids will never serve the Lord. And that's lies. It's lies after lies after lies. But how many know when you get worn down and you feel beat down, you begin to believe the lies? And then all of a sudden you begin to speak the lies. And they seem like the truth. Because then other people are speaking the lies. And you're like, well, if they're seeing that too, then maybe it is the truth. But it's a lie. Number four, he starts forgetting the Lord. I mean, once again, think about what the Lord did for Elijah. He showed up in front of 450 false prophets, and he showed up by fire. He said, God of my ancestors, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, would you come? And he comes. Lord, stop the rain. It stops. God, send the rain. God was with this man. Testimony after testimony. The young boy got raised from the dead in the widow's house. Remember? He prays for him and he gets raised from the dead. This is a man that has seen miracles, seen supernatural provision. I mean, if anybody should have the testimony of God is real, it's Elijah. Yep. And he basically starts saying like, you're not going to show up, God. Like one woman says you're going to die and he's like, it's all over. But yet there was 450 false prophets that were surrounding him and he's like, bring it on. Ahab, you're nothing. False prophets, I'll take you down. Kill them all. And then one woman with a controlling and a manipulative spirit, a spirit of death on her, she wanted him dead, and he freaks out. And he's basically like, I know you totally showed up for me. I know all these great testimonies happened for me, but I don't believe you're going to show up. And so I just want to die. He forgot the Lord. How many times have I done this? How many times have we done this? I'm sure every person in this room has a list of amazing testimonies where he came through, whether financially, whether for a family member, whether it was somebody getting saved, whether it was a healing or just something supernatural that you cannot explain. And it's a testimony. And we have all these things and we're like, praise you, God. And then all of a sudden, you know, You miss a bill and you're like, he's not going to show up for me. You know, like, you know, something minor happens and we're freaking out. And we're like, I knew he wasn't going to show up. I knew he wasn't real. You know, like, come on. Do we get rocked that easy? So he forgets the Lord. And I think it's a simple mistake. And I think it's a simple thing that a lot of us tend to do as believers. But it happens when we get worn down. It happens when we begin to push people out. It happens when we begin to believe the lie. And it happens, and then after you're doing those three things, you begin to forget God. You begin to forget His goodness. You begin to forget His faithfulness. You begin to forget the testimonies of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so what is God's response to this, all of this happening here? The Lord speaks to Elijah, and let's look what he says. Let's start in verse 5. It says, then as he laid there and he slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. And so he ate and drank, and he laid down again. Hallelujah. The angel didn't come to rebuke him. The angel did not come to say, "You blew it, man. Like, I thought you were a prophet. I thought you were a man of God. I thought you were a great man of God." You know, he didn't come to bring shame on him. He didn't come to bring rejection. He didn't come to say, "Hey, memorize these two verses. Where's your faith, Elijah?" He said, "Elijah, I want you to do two things. I want you to eat something, and I want you to take a rest, take a nap. I want you to rest. These two things, I think, are so crucially important in our physical body, which we neglect." Sometimes we want somebody to lay hands on us, and we want to go to an extra prayer meeting, which is good. Or we begin to fast, which is good. Or we do all these spiritual things, which are good. But our body is run down and worn down, and the Lord's like, "Just take a nap. Just eat a steak or something, you know. Eat a nice salad. Get your body healthy." Because we are not ourselves when we're hungry and when we're sleepy. And we begin to make bad decisions. And so the angel, this is God speaking. God's like, "Elijah, you're not you right now, bud. Just rest a little bit. I'm going to give you some food, some sustenance. I just want you to chill." And I think that's sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do, is just rest. Again, it is a commandment in Scripture. Sabbath is a commandment. You know, this is the very reason why, my wife and I and our family, we took a sabbatical after being here for 5 years. And it was because there's warfare in ministry. There's fighting, there's praying, there's trusting, there's seeking, there's crying out. And then when that is going and going and going, it can wear you down and wear you out. And it is very biblical to take a step back and just say, "God, recharge me. Refill me. Because I don't want to burn out." God wants us to burn up and burn brighter, not burn out. Amen? So he says, "I'm providing you food. Now go take a nap." Like that. Take a nap, you know. Naps are awesome. I mean, love a good nap. I don't always get a nap because I have 3 kids, but when I do get one, they are amazing. Come on, somebody. Listen to this. So the angel of the Lord came back a second time. So he just provided for him food and water, and he says, "Take a rest." Then he comes back a second time. He says, "Arise and eat again, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and he ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and for 40 nights. As far as Horeb, the mountain of God. You know that what that is? That's Mount Sinai. Horeb, the mountain of God. That's Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is where, Moses got the Ten Commandments. Right. And so what is God saying to the little Elijah here? He's saying, "Elijah, you're not acting like yourself. I want you to, first of all, eat some food. I want you to rest. You need some rest, because you're physically exhausted. You're spiritually, emotionally exhausted. Rest yourself for a minute. And then, Elijah, I want you to go back to the place where God was moving. I want you to go back to the place where you know where the glory of God, where the presence of God was so tangible. I want you to go back to the place where I met with Moses." What does that mean for us? You're like, "Okay, that's great, but I'm not going to Mount Sinai anytime soon." You can eat. You can rest, and you can go back to the place where God met you. You can come. Where is that? Hello, church. How about your prayer closet? How about there's all kinds of places in our lives where we've been touched by the presence of God? And God's like, "I want you to rest. I want you to eat. And I'm drawing you back into that place because I want to speak to you again. And I want you to experience my goodness. I want you to experience my presence. I want it to be real in your life as it was for Moses. It will be for you." Isn't that a good word?
Yes. Amen.
So he's strengthened by the food. He goes on, and it's just so good. So say, eat, rest, and go to the place where God is. And I know, some of you's like, "Oh, well, God's everywhere." I know God's everywhere. He's here. He's there. He's everywhere. He's on the mountain. He's everywhere. But there is something so special about going to a place where God has like tangibly visited. You know, whether it's a church or whether it is your prayer closet. There are special places that we have like consecrated to the Lord, and He has just moved in powerful ways. And so He's saying, visit these places again. Go back to these places. Why? Because when you do, you're going to remember. You're going to remember how I came through for your forefathers. Come on. I think it's good. And Church of the Mountain. I mean, there's no excuse to not come into this room and to forget the goodness of the Lord. We could come into this place. You're like, where's God? God is here.
Yes.
There's 50 years of God showing up right here.
Yes.
50 years of God touching families, touching hearts, saving people, healing people, delivering people. 50 years. So we can stand in this place and just say, oh, I'm back. I'm remembering every testimony. I'm remembering how you came through, how you worked a miracle. So come on, this is good stuff. The second thing that the Lord does for Elijah is He replaces the lies with the truth. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
So Elijah's believing the lies, and God's like, yeah, it's great, but I'm gonna replace that with truth now. Verse 9, it says, and there he went into a cave, and he spent the night in the place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? I don't know. Why am I back in a cave? I don't know. I'm still scared, I guess. What are you doing here? So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord. That's truth. The God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. True. They've torn down your altars. True. Killed your prophets. True. With the sword. And I alone am left. And they seek to take my life. False. That's false. They do seek to take his life, but he is not the only one left.
Right.
Sometimes when we isolate ourselves, we begin to believe a lie that is totally not true.
Right.
We begin to pull ourselves away from everything. You see, God says in verse 18, no, wait. There are 7,000 plus believers that have not bowed down to Baal. And so he was under the impression, I'm the only one left. There's nobody left. They've slaughtered all the worshipers of God. They've slaughtered all the prophets. So I'm as good as dead. I just want to die. God's like, no, you're believing a lie right now. And I want to remind you that no, you're not alone. First of all, I'm with you, Elijah. And there's a company of people. Remember a chapter before, remember the other servant of the Lord, he was hiding the prophets in the cave. There's 7,000 people that are still left. And so God replaces the lie with the truth. And He'll do the very same thing for us. Sometimes we believe these subtle things about ourselves. We believe lies about our marriage. We believe lies about our business, about our kids. We believe these things, and we believe it. Why? Because we've isolated ourselves. We pulled ourselves back. And God's like, I just want to speak truth into that thing. Because the truth will what? Set you free. Amen. And so God speaks truth into him that he's not alone. And I think this is the wonderful truth that he'll speak to us. We're not alone. We're not alone in what we're going through. We're not alone in our marriage. We're not alone in the battle. We're not alone in the financial struggle. We're not alone. You're just not alone. I think that's the word of the Lord right there. You need to look at your neighbor and say, you're not alone. You're not alone. Number three, we're almost done. Number three, I think this is profound as well. God speaks to Elijah. Then he said, verse 11, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but The Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a still, small voice. And so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him. He said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He begins to speak and they begin to have this dialogue. But I love this again because I know for me, sometimes I can get stuck in a rut. Sometimes I get so used to hearing the Lord in my way that I'm unwilling to hear Him and how He wants to speak to me today. I'm so dialed into how He spoke to me in 2000 that I can't hear how He wants to speak to me now. You did this then, so this is the only way you speak, God. No, it's not. Yes, I could speak to you through fire. Yes, I could speak to you through wind. I could speak to you through earthquakes. I could do all of these miraculous, powerful, incredible things. But today, I'm going to whisper to you. And I love this for so many reasons. And I was just thinking about this last night as I was holding my little boy and my little Caleb is getting tired and I'm just kind of holding him and rocking him to sleep and his eyes are kind of getting tired and I don't have to shout at him or talk loud. Go to sleep, buddy. You know, daddy's here. I love you so much. I just hold him closer to my heart and I say, I love you. I love you, buddy. I love you. Daddy's here. Daddy's got you. I love you so much. And I just have to whisper because he's in my arms. When you're in the Father's arms, he doesn't need to shout over you. He just whispers to you. And not that he doesn't speak loud sometimes, because he does. And there's times when he will shake us and wake us, and we need those moments. But there are those beautiful, sweet times where we are in the Father's arms, and there's just a whisper. And I love, and I quoted this over you, Penny, but it is Psalm 34. God is near the brokenhearted. Yes. He's near to the brokenhearted. That is a promise. He doesn't say, I stand at the opposite end of the room to the brokenhearted. I look at the brokenhearted and I'm like, oh, that's a bummer. He says, he's near. He holds us. That's a promise. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We're almost done. Patrick, you can come up, brother, if you're here. And the fourth thing I want to tell you is, let's look at verse 15. So he says, I want you to eat, I want you to rest, and I want you to go to the place where you know God is. I want to replace the lie. I want to speak to your heart. You're like, how is he going to do that? Like, I'm not used to God speaking to me. Well, I want to give you real practical ways. Just get in the Word of God. Just start reading. I've talked to so many people lately. I don't know His voice. I can't understand if it's my voice or if it's His voice. The way you understand is you begin to read the Word of God more. And then it sharpens your discernment. And it sharpens you so you know what is you and what is not you and what is Him. And so I would say start with just getting in the Word of God every day. You're like, I haven't opened my Bible for 2 years. We'll open it tomorrow. Just take 5 minutes. Take 5 minutes a day and just read your Bible. And after 5 minutes, jump to 10 minutes a day. If you could do that, if you could commit to a little bit every day, just whatever you can do, whatever you can make room for Him, like something powerful will happen. Make some time for Word and make some time for some real prayer. And watch what the Lord will do. Amen. Because He loves us. He loves us. He loves Elijah. He loves us. And so here's this man, Elijah. He wants to die. He wants to give up. He's depressed. He's waving the white flag. How many of us in our lives have come to that point where we're just waving the white flag? I'm tired. Lord, I want to give up. And I mean, honestly, it's weird to admit this, but I can say, like, that's kind of where Heather and I were last year. Well, I love this church. I love every single person in this church. I love the Eastern Sierras, but I think we had just gotten beat down and worn down. And I just remember feeling that very thing, like, I just want to give up. I just want to quit. And my poor wife, you know, I just see her getting, beaten down with physical sickness and the enemy attacking her and people attacking her. And I just said, this isn't even worth it. Why would I do this? Why would I put my family through this kind of mess? Why would I put my sweet wife through this kind of mess? And so we said, let's take a break. Let's refocus. Let's refuel. Let's get our eyes back on Jesus. And it's when you take a step back that God says, no, I still have a plan for your life. I still have called you. I knew what was going to happen. I knew the words that were going to be spoken, but I still called you. And I'm speaking about it myself, but I know that there are people that can resonate with that right now. You've been in a battle. And you're like, I want to give up. I want to just throw in the towel. I feel like a loser. And the Lord's saying, I still called you. I still love you. I still believe in you. And I'm going to see you through this thing. But maybe what some of us need today is just to take a step back and just say, God, I love you. And I'll rest. And I'll eat. And I'll laugh. Sometimes you just need a good laugh. Just go watch a funny movie. Sometimes we're so serious as Christians. Just go laugh. Do something fun. Have a hobby. Climb a mountain. I don't know. Do something. But this is beautiful what the Lord begins to speak to Elijah. He says, I want you to believe truth. And then he gives him something, this final thing that he speaks to this man of God. And he says in verse 15, he says, now, Elijah, I want you to go and I want you to return your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, I want you to anoint Hazael and the king over Syria. And I want you to anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi. And I want you to anoint Elisha, who is going to take your place as prophet. Oh. And so what is the Lord saying to Elijah, who has been in a season of discouragement, a season of depression, a season of, I want to give up, I want to die, I'm afraid for my life? He's saying, Elijah, go. Go and do what prophets do. You're a prophet, Elijah. And prophets don't hide out in fear. Prophets go and they raise up people. They go and they lay hands on people and they call up anointings. And they believe in people when nobody else believes in them. And he goes and he finds an Elisha and he says, I believe in you. And he raises him up. And a Jehu and this other one. And this is what prophets do. What is the gifting inside of your heart? I'm a builder. Then go build something. I'm a contractor. Well, stop getting discouraged and go build. I'm a giver. Stop getting discouraged and give. And that's not just finances. That's just giving your life, your time, your every which way. I'm a mom. And then be a mom. Don't let the enemy put fear into you. Don't let the enemy cripple you and take the joy of this season away from you. Because this is a sweet season. Whatever season it is, it's the only season. You're never going to get this season back. And this is the sweetest season of your life. And so enjoy it. Savor it. If you're a dad, just be a dad. Just lean into it. Do what dads do. Do what moms do. Do what business people do. Do it if it's ministry. I feel like that's what God is saying. He's saying, I have a new assignment for you. I have something new and you need to step into this thing boldly and embrace the season that I've put you in. Get planted in the season that I've planted you in. Amen. And I love if you look, and we're going to talk more about their life next week, but think about this. Elisha, he says, he's just like awestruck with Elijah, you know. He said, Elijah, I want your mantle. I don't want your mantle. I want a double portion. Like, I want more than what you have. And he's like, okay, fine. You know, follow me. And if you see the chariot in the sky, blah, blah, blah. You know, great story. And you'll get it. But you know what kind of stands out to me and was so really cool is, think about this for a minute, is Elijah, what was he scared of?
Jezebel,
but really, he was scared of death. He said, I'm afraid of death. I'm afraid of dying. And think about this story for a minute. Elijah was only one of two people in the Bible that what? Did not die. He was afraid for his life. I want to die. I want to give up on everything. And the very thing that he was so afraid of, the very thing that was consuming his heart and consuming his life, the Lord says, you're not going to even taste this. You're going to go right into eternity.
Amen.
Amen. So I just speak blessing over every single person in this room. Why don't you close your eyes with me? Father, I thank you for every person in this room. Whatever stage of life that you are in right now, and whatever has been coming against you, I come against that thing. And I command that thing that has been coming against you to be broken in the name of Jesus. That discouragement, that depression, that anxiety that's been gripping your heart, your soul, your mind, I command that thing to be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now, if there's any person, every eye closed, if there's any person that is, you feel you're struggling. You said, man, I just, it resonates with me. I feel worn down. Sometimes I feel depressed. Sometimes I just, I don't know what I feel, but I don't feel like myself. I don't feel like I did 5 years ago. I feel like God has some refreshing for you today. But it takes honesty. And it takes vulnerability. And it just takes somebody to just say, here I am, Lord. And I want to give the Holy Spirit a moment to do that in some people's lives. And so we're not going to look around at each other. But if that's you, I just want you in faith and prophetically just to raise your hands and just say, yeah, that's me. I feel discouraged. I feel depressed. I feel anxious. I feel worn down. And I just want to lift my hands in an act of surrender. In an act of, I acknowledge this, but I also believe that you are greater than this lie. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Wash over every heart in this room right now. Wash over every heart in this room right now. I pray refreshing. I pray for fresh fire in this room in the name of Jesus. I pray for fresh anointing to fall in this room in the name of Jesus. Fresh fire in their relationships. Fresh fire in their marriages. Fresh fire in their relationship with you. God, I pray that every heart would come alive. God, just as that song that we sang earlier, joy comes in the morning. Joy still comes in the morning. It's because it's your promise. And so right now, let joy flood this room. Let joy flood these relationships. Let it flood up. God, that we would have hope for a new day. Right now, wash over every family, over every individual. And I just command depression to leave this room in Jesus' name. I command anxiety attacks, panic attacks, to be broken off of every person in this room in the name of Jesus. Father, would you flood this house again with mercy? Would you flood this house again with joy? Would you flood this house again with I'm excited. So just stay. I don't know what you got in your spirit, Patrick, but I feel like maybe you can sing something, brother. Sing something. Pour out from the heavens. I don't know. Something of your own. I feel like there's this, one of your songs is going to ignite a fire in our spirits. And so I would just encourage you, why don't you engage with the Father for 1 or 2 minutes or longer, whatever. You're free to go if you have to go. But I just feel we have to just take a moment and worship the King. Allow the Holy Spirit to seal the Word in your spirit and your heart. Father, let us never be the same. Let us never be the same, Jesus. Let this church never be the same. We love you. We give you this day.
Where else would I want to be than with you? The one who gave his all for me, Jesus. Seated on the throne, you are for me. Who can be against me? 'Cause you're the King, my faithful Father, faithful friend, forevermore. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Sing that together, how great.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. Oh,
let's just do one thing real quick here and put your hand on your heart if you're still in the room. I just want you to repeat a simple prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my heart. give you my life. I give you everything today. I thank you, Lord, that I am an overcomer. I am victorious. You call me your champion. You call me yours. And I choose to not believe a lie. I choose to believe the truth. I choose to believe everything that you have spoken. And now I command discouragement, depression, anxiety to leave me in Jesus' name. To get off my family. To get off. To get off. We choose to believe truth. And we will trust you. And we will live for you. We are yours. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you today. Have a wonderful Sunday. If you need ministry or prayer or anything, please come up. Patrick's going to sing a little bit more. But you're welcome to go. You're welcome to stay. You're welcome to get more coffee. Do whatever you need to do. We love you. Thank you for coming. Visit with some people. Hug some necks. God bless you guys. We love you. Talk to you soon.